Everybody else, scoot up and get right behind somebody. You tall guys, stand right behind. Scoot right up behind.
Hey, boys, get right on the edge.
Scoot up. Scoot up. Good. All right. She's coming back. There's a spot for her right here. Here you go, sweetie, right here.
Where's she going? She can come down here.
That's great. Here we go. Ready?
Thankful to be here this morning, and I'm thankful for our youth choir, kids choir. I'm thankful for that song about Zacchaeus. I love to study on Zacchaeus and to hear about Zacchaeus and to hear the songs about Zacchaeus. I'm thankful that God passes by we little men. When I was just a six-year-old boy, I was just a wee little man, and 24 years later, I'm still just a wee little man to the world, but to him, I'm a child of the King. And I'm thankful this morning to be saved, and I'm hopeful this morning that we'll see someone else get saved. But we'll just ask you to go praying and to be really praying for Sunday school, really be praying for our teachers, really be praying for this service. And we're going to ask Chris Rozell to dismiss us to Sunday school.
We appreciate being in God's house. It's good. It's good to be saved. And it's good to know God. Our lesson this morning's in the third chapter of Lamentations, third verse. And the lesson starts at the 16th verse. And I'm going to read that 16th verse, and then I'm going to go somewhere else for a minute. But the 16th verse said, "He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes." He broke my teeth with stones. If you ever had a broke tooth, you know that hurts. And it don't quit hurting you hardly till you get it fixed. And just think about that. But in the people that wrote the commentary on this lesson seem to think maybe somebody besides Jeremiah could have wrote it. They didn't really know. And that's what they said. My Bible, if you go back to the first of it, it says the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And if you probably all of you can remember, Jeremiah preached to Judah for years, warned them about their sin, and tried to get them to change their ways, and told them they was going into Babylon for 70 years. And there's a scripture, real familiar scripture, I want to read in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, starting the 16th verse. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is a good way, and walk therein. But they said, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." And just absolutely rebelled against God. And of course, everybody knows the story. They went into Babylon for 70 years, and Jerusalem was destroyed. And they suffered a lot of things because of their sin. And most of us at some time or other have suffered because of our sin. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. And God knows. God's a merciful God. We can all agree to that. God's a merciful God. And he just like us with our kids, we just keep warning them and warning them when they're little. Just keep warning them and warning them and warning them. That's the way I was. But sooner or later, you got to do something about it. If you keep warning them over the same thing. So God will keep warning us. Have you ever been doing something or just think about doing something that wasn't right, and God tell you right here you was wrong? I've had that happen a lot of times. Maybe I'm worse than everybody else, but I've had that happen a lot of times. I can look back at some of them times that I can remember. And they're a great blessing to me, because God was telling me I belonged to Him when I was wrong. And he was telling these people that they belonged to Him And they were wrong, absolutely. But Jeremiah wrote over in Lamentations that he's broken my teeth with the gravel stones. In other words, I'm suffering. Now, Jeremiah, I want to throw this. Jeremiah didn't go down into Babylon, if I understand it right. But Jeremiah was suffering right along with those people. How many times, you couldn't count them. How many times have you heard our pastor get up when he's making an altar call and beg people to come home that's saved by the grace of God and ain't where they ought to be? Preaching the same message, he ain't saying you're going into Babylon, but he said you're headed for trouble. And still preaching that same message. And if you look at the, I don't know how many people we got on our church register, members of this church, but I know it's over 1,000. And we can only get about 500 in here and seat them. I don't know, maybe not even that many. So where's our people at? And I thought of this. When I thought of that, we got a lot of people who don't come to church much, if at all. But I thought of this. How many of us that are here today got our hearts where they need to be so Jesus can show up? He said, if two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if my heart ain't where it needs to be, I can sit right here on the front bench and I can holler amen all I want to. But if my heart's not in it, I'm not getting the blessing. And I'm not helping the service. I don't care how much noise I make. So sometimes it's a hard matter to get ourselves humble where we need to be to do what God needs for us to do. And we talk all the time about every one of us having a job to do. Our job's to follow God's Spirit. And if I ain't where God's Spirit's moving down in here, I can't follow it. So I gotta, God give me a great big job to do. He told me to keep myself unspotted from the world. And that's a great big job. And he told me to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt us in due time. So we've got a job to do. And it ain't always easy. But anyway, Jeremiah was suffering because of the people that were in bondage, and because Jerusalem had been destroyed, and God's people carry a burden for people that ain't walking right, or if the church runs into a low spot, and I've seen that happen a few times. The church runs into a low spot. The people that's got their heart right's got a burden. If the church has got problems, and some of us here has experienced a few things, if the church has got problems, it's a burden to our heart if we're trying to live right. It ain't a thing. There are people that would do it this way. I just get even. That ain't the way it's done. We have to do what the book says do. But do it right out of the love that's down in your heart that Jesus put there. And that's a burden. That's a hard thing to do. So you feel for people when they ain't right, when they're suffering because of their sins, or when if my people, my kids or grandkids or some of them, if they were suffering because of their sins, I'd be suffering with them. That's where Jeremiah was at when he wrote this book. But now I thought of the first thing hit my mind when I read that scripture, and I'm getting ahead of myself probably, but it was over in Revelation where John saw the innumerable host, and he asked the angel who they were. I got it down here somewhere, but I kind of get through the story. And he said, these are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, can you remember, and I know you can, absolutely, remember the day that God told you you was lost? Great tribulation. And that tribulation didn't last very long for some of us. Some people, it seemed like it was a little struggle for them to get straightened out, get saved, however you want to say it. That seemed like they had a struggle. But with me, the preacher preached to me, and I've told my story 100 million times probably. I decided, when he started making the altar call, I decided I wasn't going. I knew God wanted me to. He was telling me I was lost. But I decided I wasn't going. And he sent Edna Mason to me that morning, and all she done, she come across from this side of the church house over to where I was at over here, stuck out her hand, said, you need to pray. And I come out of there, and God saved me, and I've been saved ever since. I ain't never, of course, I was taught right after I got saved. I was in a good church. But I knew you didn't get lost again. But God's, I keep jumping around a little bit, but God's been good to us. I can't imagine anybody anywhere having a better church than this one. And I'll tell you what, I think everybody ought to feel the same way about their church. Wherever they're at, if they're in a good God-fearing church, got the Spirit of God in it, they ought to feel the same way. But I'm prejudiced. I mean, I was in this. I wasn't part of it, but my mom was, before they ever had a church building. And I remember going to some of them services, and some of them was real great. And I had a baptizing, and I believe that was before the church building was built too. And baptized 26 at one time. Now, I could name a few names of people that was in that baptizing, but I won't go that far. But God's blessed this church, and still is. But anybody got anything? Yeah, in Romans, Paul said, for I was alive once without the law, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. So I was alive And them times I was talking about before God called me, I just say it this way. Paul said, I knew a man upon 13 years ago, and I can't quote it all exactly, but he ascended into the third heaven. And my thoughts on that, and I don't know that I could prove it, but my thoughts on that, before I got saved, before God told me I was lost, my soul was in the first heaven. It was innocent. If I'd have died in that state, I'd have went where God is in heaven. But then the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. When I come to the altar that Sunday morning, I was made alive in Christ Jesus and entered into the second heaven. And they're all one. But anyway, one of these days, if time stands till I'm laid in the grave, I'll get up and go to the third heaven with Jesus. And that's my thoughts on that, but just something to think about. But now, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And you get away from God, or you get a real big burden for somebody that's lost. I mean, you can, just like Jeremiah, his heart was right. He was writing God, he was writing this book as God instructed him. His heart was right. But he was having all kinds of problems because he had a great big burden for the people of God. And the peace of God was still in his soul. But if your people's in trouble, you're in trouble. And that's more or less what he was saying. And I know from experience when you have a burden, you're going to pray more. And sometimes I could name a couple of guys, I guess, but I won't do that. Maybe more than a couple. Several people I can remember that I had a burden for, and there's some that I still do. But I've had a burden for that I prayed for years. And they finally, when they did get saved, what a blessing. And we've got a few guys coming to church here on a fairly regular basis that I've been praying for since they was little kids, I guess. And I want to see them get saved. And they're getting up in years. They ain't too far behind me. And I'd love to see them get saved. But you carry a burden and you pray. And I can name one fella. He's in heaven. Oakley Webb. I prayed for him from the time I first got saved. We was neighbors. And I prayed for him from the time when I first got saved until he got saved over on Albert Street. Now, I don't remember how long ago that was, but I prayed for him for a long time. And I was working I go back. We had a revival, and I was working nights at General Motors. And I'd go up on the sand bin about church time every night and get on my knees. And when I come home at night, first thing I'd say, ask my wife who got saved. And one night I come home, ask her who got saved. She said, Oakley Webb. And you talk about joy, that still is. And God's good to us. And he'll answer our prayers if we go to him right out of a sincere heart. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible said. And we gotta be humble before God. To be even considered righteous, we got to be righteous in Jesus, first of all. And then, keep ourselves clean, keep our hands clean. The Bible said, who can ascend the hill of God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. God purifies the heart. But it's up to me to keep my hands clean, to live, to be as humble as I can be, so that God, my prayers will reach heaven. And you all know what I mean. There's been a lot of times I've got on my knees and tried to pray and didn't really pray, just said some words. But there's been some times that I've got on my knees and talked to God. And it wasn't just words. And that there's no more joy in this Christian life, if you want to say it that way, than being able to talk to God. Said, you remove my soul far from peace. And before God spoke to me, I've been going kind of both ways on this lesson, but before God spoke to me, my soul had peace. But when God told me I was lost, my peace was gone. And there's a scripture, if I can read it. In the 116th Psalm, he said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of sin got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And that's where every one of us was at when God called us, when God told us we was lost. Then cried I. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest. And this goes right back to what I was talking about. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Can't fall. If God saves you, you're saved forever. and lie. Anybody got anything? And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in them. And that's what I was saying about having a burden. You can be really tore up over something and not have any real peace. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. The peace of God don't never go out of here if you've been saved. Now, God might hide it from you sometimes if you're wrong, but if we've got a real burden for somebody, it troubles us. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And every one of us has been like Jeremiah. Something happened, somebody we love gets sick or dies or whatever, and we start praying, Lord, help them and help their family or help us. And that's the same thing Jeremiah was doing. And although he knew, Jeremiah knew that these people that were carried into bondage were going to be there 70 years. He'd already preached that. He knew it. But it was still a burden. He wanted them to be treated decent, which they weren't, most of them. Some of them were. But he had a burden for them. And it troubled him. And we as a church need to be troubled about them other 500 people that ain't here on Sunday morning. I wouldn't care if we had to build a church four times this size. But we need to have a burden as a church for every one of our people that ain't walking right, that ain't coming to church like they ought to. Maybe they ain't doing nothing wrong, but they ain't doing nothing right either. And he that knoweth to do good, to him is sin. So we need to be praying for them and our lost people too. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And Isaiah wrote, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They can run and not be weary, walk and not fail. We can go in the strength of the Lord if we're living right. If we're right with God and our hearts are looking to God like we ought to every day, we can wait on the Lord, know that he's going to answer our prayers. He said he would. He can't save people that don't want to get saved. If God calls them, they just flat turn him away. He's not going to force them. But he will. If we pray for them, he'll get a hold of them. He'll let them know what they need and where they can get it. So it's up to us. And I'm getting a verse or two past the lesson, but I wanted to get this in. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So if we can wait on the Lord, salvation will come. And as long, I believe this absolutely, I believe as long as the church is here, there'll be a few get saved. I believe that. Because God knows everything that has happened and is happening and will happen. He knows every person that's going to get saved. And when the last one gets saved, I believe that'll be the end of it and we'll all go to heaven. And that's my thoughts on it. But anybody got anything? But Jeremiah had a burden for the people. And when they came back, I may be getting on another lesson, I don't know, but when they came back out of bondage and started building the house of God, I love this scripture in the book of Ezra. They building the house of God, and they laid the foundation, and the Bible said the people shouted with a great shout because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And them wasn't the same people. Them wasn't the same people that went into bondage. All of them died down there in bondage, in my opinion, unless they were just little kids when they went down there. But they were there 70 years. But they wasn't the same ones, but they got saved while they was down there. They couldn't have had no spirit if they wasn't saved. And there was some good people went down into bondage with those people. Ezekiel was down there. Daniel was down there. The three Hebrew children, and it's on telling how many more that were down there spreading the word about God. God has always had a people and always will. As long as the world stands, the church will stand. It might get pretty low at times, but it'll be here. And so we need to have the burden that Jeremiah had for his people, for our people. And if we do that, we'd be a little closer to the Lord. And that's all I got, if nobody else ain't got nothing.